Baptist Church. It's a joy to be back with you on the Sunday morning, and I'm so glad that you have tuned in to our latest sermonic offering. Well, talk about sermonic offerings. We're starting a new series this morning, and it's entitled Trapped. But this morning's sermon is entitled Tapped In, and you'll see why it has that title in a few moments. But we're going to be looking at the story of Noah and his family, his relationship with God, his relationship with the broader culture around him, and how all of these interactions gave us this wonderful spiritually and theologically rich soil which we can grow out of. It is an amazing venture into a biblical narrative that is extremely relevant to our times today. We are all trapped. We're all under lockdown. Some of you are getting claustrophobic, not only physically, but mentally, spiritually, and socially. Your resources are beginning to wane. There's not enough rice in the cupboard anymore. The baked beans, aren't you just sad about baked beans? We've had baked beans coming out of our ears, some of us. The point is that your mobility has been limited. Your movement has been curtailed. You are not the same as you used to be just a few weeks ago. You are trapped. I've got news for you that not only is there a silver lining on every cloud, but wherever God is involved, there's always some type of benefit, some type of way out, some type of profit for the people of God. I want to explicitly say that God is doing the same thing in this day and age. That which the enemy might use for harm, God will turn around and use for your profit, for your development, for your good. The government has instituted this lockdown, and a few days ago our president spoke about reducing the lockdown from a stage 5 to a stage 4. And so there's some relaxation on what the lockdown means. Some people can get back to work, others can't. But for most of us, it's stay at home. For the church specifically, we need to not gather. And that is a continuation of the status quo. Nothing changes there. I do want to encourage you once again that I do believe this is not a malevolent attack on the church. This is simply a response to a virus that knows no bounds. And in this case, congregational gathering could very well be an aid to the virus spreading. For congregations that have got older people or immunocompromised people that we might not even know about, it would be the wise thing to suspend these type of gatherings. I do, however, see that God is opening new doors and methods of ministry and expressions of Christian spirituality like we could never have imagined without this crisis. That's one of the silver linings that we find these days. And so we will continue with a digital format of professing our sermons, of gathering using various platforms. And we're asking you for your patience. This too shall come to an end. And the trapped feeling that you and I are going through right now is only temporary. The day will come when you are able to see your old friends and Christian family members once again face to face, embrace them with a physical hug, and physically sit next to them in the seat you usually occupied in church on a Sunday and other days. But if you don't mind, please turn with me to Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to be reading from verse 9 till the end of that passage, and then share with you a few short thoughts about that. And it's entitled the sermon Tap, the series is Tracked. Reads as follows. Thank you. So our very first point is entitled tap out. Now, many of you would be familiar with this term, and to tap out, the most common, well, it's a clothing brand as well, but it's also most commonly understood for those who are fight fans like myself, where you are able to tap out if the pressure gets too much, if the battle gets too intense. It is a facility given to fighters to kind of get out of the fight. You of course lose the fight, but you tap out. You're no longer privy to being hit and beaten and bloody. You get out. Noah tapped out. What did he tap out from? Now I want you to understand that point number two is going to be tapped in, and it's a logical flow from point number one. But let's start with the whole tap out. Noah was in a culture, was in a world where the consequence of people's thought, word, and deed, the collective evil of those three things, resulted in a world that God was displeased with. To such a degree that God says, I don't want this world in its current form to exist anymore. Thankfully, this dark cloud also has a silver lining. There is a way out for humanity, and as humanity represents creation, for creation as well. And so God says, I want this man Noah, who is a righteous man and who has a family, but is part of the broader culture that he is in, but has not allowed the contamination, the darkness, to enter into his own life and that of his family. He was a righteous man. He had faith in God. He had an ability to not only hear God, but also to listen to God. He also had an ability to say, I tap out from the culture that is in opposition to God. I'm speaking to someone this morning and I'm wondering how many of you need to tap out from a culture that is alienating God more and more. Now, please do not use my words to say that the government is alienating God by saying that we cannot congregate. I want to let you know that you can stop congregations, you can stop buildings, you can bulldoze our assets, you can take our money, but you will never ever stop the Church of God moving forward. This lockdown right now is an example of the strength of the church, of the growth of the church, of the tenacity of the church to move forward with great power and great efficacy, no matter what anyone else does or says. And let me give my endorsement to our president. I know it's hard. I know people's incomes have been affected. I know that things might take a back tack for a while. Our plans and our purposes have been kind of set aside as to what we'd like to do and what we are able to achieve. But we are doing this to save lives. Getting back to Noah. Noah says, I will not participate, I will not partake, and I will not promote anything that is rooted in this fallen culture. I will be righteous. I'm hoping, my friend, my brother, my sister, that you are able to have the same thought process as Noah. That you are able to remove yourself and tap out and say, I will not be a part of this type of culture. I will be a righteous man and I will infuse that righteousness into my own family. The world against me, Jesus for me, no one can touch me. I've tapped out from you guys. Don't be a part of a fallen culture that seeks to remove God, His presence, His purposes, His power from your life. Noah tapped out. D.L. Moody is famous for saying a number of things, but this is one of them. He says, let God have your life. He can do more with it than you can. You also need to tap out of control over your life. I know we like control. I'm one of those guys. I like to control things around me. You know, I'm so bad, I don't even like my wife to drive the car when I'm in it, because I want to be in control. Now, truth be told, I'm a way better driver than she is. Is this recorded? Yes, it is. She's a way better driver than I am, and I just love it when she chauffeurs me around. The point is, I also don't like it when I don't have the remote control of the TV close to me. Not only my wife, but my kids themselves. I don't want them to have it. Problem is, we've got like 4 remotes these days, and so there's always one missing from my reach. I'm a control freak. But I would do well, just like Noah, to not only tap out of a culture, but also to tap out of the control that I think I have over my life. Firstly, it is an illusion. It is something that you truly do not possess. That God is sovereign and in control anyway. But if you're going to live under this illusion that you call the shots in your life, and then live out that illusion as a reality of something that can be experienced by yourself and others, I want to tell you the consequences, which will be negative, will be seated at your door at some point in time. Talking about doors, there's a few doors mentioned in the passage when God commands Noah to build the ark. And I want you to understand that if God ever builds a door, it's only because we have built walls. You see, God produces a way to get in and out only because we have built fences and walls to keep him away. And you need to understand that when God gives a door, it's not because there never used to be access before. Adam and Eve had complete access to God and all the things that he created for them to enjoy. But they built a wall of sin and iniquity, of separation between them and God, because they got fooled by a lying serpent, a reptilian being whose main purpose it was to have power and control over them. They couldn't discern. So they built a wall of separation, and God says, I'm sending you a savior, and he will be the gate. He will be the door to your salvation. Brothers and sisters, surrender your lives to God, because he's able to do with your life a whole lot more than what you can. James 4 verse 7 is one of my favorite verses, but I'm going to read from verse 4 just to get context. And it says this: you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Step out from friendship with the world. Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy with God. You can't have your bread buttered on both sides, folks. Verse 5, or do you think scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the spirit he has caused to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. That's why scripture says God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, give your lives over to God. Verse 7 is explicit and key for this part of the sermon. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and the devil will, must flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. And here, the Apostle James is lining up his thought with the Apostle Paul in Philippians, where he says that there are some who glory in their doom, that their stomachs have become their glory, fulfilling their appetites and their hunger of many different types of hunger has become their life's aim and purpose. And they think they are cool and they think they are doing okay, but they don't know that they're in opposition to God. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, you need to tap out of the surrounding culture that removes God, that sees God as an enemy, as an inconvenience sometimes. Boils down to the same thing. We must surrender ourselves to God and not just our assignments. You see, we are in danger, brothers and sisters, of creating some type of dichotomy between ourselves. And Noah didn't do this. Noah did not just submit to God. He was a righteous man before he even had an assignment. Some of us are quite happy within the ministry of God. And when I say ministry, I'm not talking about people like myself who are paid clergy, full-time clergy. I'm talking about any person who's doing an activity for God, on behalf of God, to give God glory. You see, Noah was a righteous man before God gave him the command to build the ark. In fact, that's why he got an assignment. There are some of us who have this model of thinking of spirituality that if I'm doing something for God, then I must be righteous. And no, it's not true. You are called, according to the story of Noah, and according to James chapter 4, you are called to be righteous, not because of your actions, but because of your standing before God. Your actions follow suit. So don't submit your assignment to God. Submit your life, your being to God. You see, I look around me and I see young ministers, guys, I'm not that old, But I graduated from seminary in 1999. I started in 1996. So I've got just over 2 decades of full-time service in the ministry. So when I say younger, they're not necessarily age-wise younger than I am. They're just less time in the full-time ministry. But I cast my vision across many of these younger full-time ministers, and I wondered to myself if they have bought into the mistaken thinking that if I do the assignment well, that I've got favor with God. No, you don't. You see, you might fail in the assignment, but do very well in your relationship with God. You might not attain the heights of producing something great, building a church from 10 to 100 and 200 or whatever the story might be, but you are one with God. You are in tune with God. Surrender yourself, not just your assignment. You need to tap out from the surrounding culture. Point number two is a logical outflow of point number one. You need to tap in to God. And to tap in means to flow with God, or another definition would be to access and or use resources that are available. And your greatest resource is the presence of God. In fact, look at Genesis 7, verse 30. On that very day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, together with his wife and the wives of his 3 sons, entered the ark. I want to give you 3 levels of tapping in that Noah did. The first thing is he tapped in to God himself. We know that, not just the assignment. He tapped in to the assignment that God had given him. God said, build an ark. And by the way, that was a crazy command. Rain had not yet fallen on the earth. It was a phenomenon that no one had yet experienced. Water would come from the springs beneath the earth. A subterranean network of water bodies existed as they do now. And that's what watered the earth. This is a change of complete operation as to how the earth would function. If you were a weatherman and someone says that water was going to fall out of the sky, he'd have laughed at you and said, you are crazy. Because we know where water comes from. We've got empirical evidence. But they did not make room for the declaration of God, for the intervention of God, and for the miraculous nature of God. And I want to tell you that no matter what we've experienced in the past, God is able to do something new. That this new normal that we have right now because of this virus, I want to tell you that God's agenda is different from the agenda of the virus itself. That the new normal might be staying in your home if you have that privilege and you're not living in a sub-economic area where social distancing is practically impossible. But if you have that new normal thrust upon you, I want you to know that God is intricately weaving something new, something great for his people. And he's also accelerating some stuff. So God gives them the command. He listens to God in terms of his relationship. He listens to God in terms of his assignment. And then he listens to God in terms of actually accessing the very resource that his hands built at God's command and instruction. But not only does he tap into that resource, he also taps into his family. He says, the scripture is very clear in verse 13. It says, on that day, at an appointed time, Noah with his sons and his sons' wives, they entered the ark. What's amazing here is that Noah had convinced his sons and the rest of his direct family to not only also listen to God, but also to assist in building that ark and on the appointed time to get into that ark. People ridiculed them. People made fun of them. But they would not let go of Jesus. They would not let go of the presence of Jehovah. I want you to tap in, flow with God, with his purposes, with his promises. Whatever he's doing in your life, allow God to do at it. I hope you know what an anagram is. An anagram is taking a word or a series of letters, rearranging it, and then you get some other type of word. The word tap in, if you were to anagramize it, number one, you get paint. But I can't use paint, not now. But you get nip at. And I want you to understand in this sense, I want you to nip at the purposes of God all the time. Because you've got an enemy, the devil, a roaring lion, who's nipping at your heels all the time. And he wants to trip you up. He wants to get you down on your knees, not to pray, but so that you're immobile and not moving forward. That you cannot really access the flow of God and what he wants to do in your life. But I would like you, my brother, my sister, my friend in Christ Jesus, to nip at constantly what God has for you. I want you to be praying every single day. Lord, what have you got for me today? Lord, what resource is available for me today? Lord, what have you opened from the windows of heaven to pour into my bowl today? Lord, I am ready. You are nipping and persistent to God for what God has in store for you. Nip at God. Then access is achieved by proximity and obedience. I want you to understand that Noah was close to God. Because that is how you access something. You've got to be close to it. And then he was obedient to God. That's what access means. I've got to be obedient to God. Now, I know what you're going to say. You are accessing this file and watching this sermon remotely. You're not in my presence. True. But you gotta click on the link. You can't just access it by thinking of it. You've gotta obediently sit in at least one position or have your device in front if you are moving. You've gotta be proximal to it. And so, not only should you tap out of a culture that is an enemy of God, you also need to tap into the flow of God. Last but not least, I want you to tap with. So you're tapping in, you're tapping out, but you're also tapping with. And here, what I mean by tap with is, and this is a theme throughout the entire story of Noah and others, as we'll see in the future. But what I mean by tap with, I mean, and I can't do this for you, I wish I could, which is to tap dance. Now, when I was younger, much younger, like in primary school, with my mom and my father, we used to watch these old movies. They used to come on over the weekend, if I remember correctly. Some of them were monochrome, black and white, and others were in color. But they used to love watching, Singing in the Rain. I forget the guy's name now. Gene Kelly. The one I remember that we used to watch plenty of times was this great singing and dancing duo of Fred Astaire, and his partner, which I forget now, and Ginger Rogers, how could I forget? And man, some of the most amazing choreography that I have seen, even to this day. I don't think the modern dancing movement of this day and age can compare with the fluidity and the grace of a Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers. Just brilliant. And I remember this one scene. In fact, I went to go research it on YouTube, and it's still there somewhere. If you'd like, I can put the link at the bottom at the end here somewhere. But I see how they move in unison. They are able to dance apart, and very talentedly so. But when they get together, they move as one. It's an amazing thing to see. While tap dancing, I mean, it's just out of this world. Now, in dancing, and I'm a terrible dancer, I can't dance to save my life. If getting into heaven ever depended on dancing, I'm going straight to hell. So there's no hope for me. Thank the Lord that it's based on Jesus. The point is this, that when it's dancing, I understand there's someone that leads and there's someone that follows. I want you to understand that you never lead when becoming attached to Jesus. When you tap with Jesus, when you tap into his flow and allow him to embrace you and take you and move you where he wants to move you in an artistic, beautiful manner, you got to let him lead and you follow. I look at a few clips of famous dancing duos, and man, in my opinion, Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers still tops. But I looked at Mikhail Baryshnikov and Gelsey Kirkland. wonderful ballet movements. Ballet ain't my thing, but beautiful. I looked at the Irish dance duo of Michael Flatley and Gene Butler. And even though Michael Flatley didn't last too long with that old river dance movement, he's still probably the most famous name to represent that type of dance form. And whenever you're going to dance with God, I want you to understand that you must let Him lead. Friend, won't you allow Jesus to lead you? As you tap out of a culture that's opposed to Him, as you tap into His presence, and then allow Him to take you around the waist, take you by the hand, and then lead you artistically and gracefully in unison to where He wants you to be. In this time of lockdown, God wants you to dance with Him. I read another poem written a few years ago, and I forget the poet's name. It's not a very well-known poem, but it's someone who took the word guidance, and with this I close, and said that guidance is this. The G stands for God. The U and the I stands for you and I. And guidance therefore equals God, you and I dance. Tap out of an obscene culture. Tap out of a culture opposed to God and His purposes, and tap into His presence and His purposes. And then tap with God as He guides you in this divine dance that takes you from point A to where He needs you to be. Noah did it, and he built an ark that saved people. If you and I can tap out, tap in, tap with, we might be opening doors of salvation to all those around us. Close your eyes and bow your head as I pray for you. And as you are closing eyes and bowing your head, I do want to say that if there are any who do not know Jesus, we have an ark. His name is Jesus. He is the vehicle of our salvation. He's the only one who can save you. You need to admit that you're a sinner, admit that Jesus is the Son of God, who's the only one who can save you. And if you can get to that place of submission where He becomes your sovereign and your Lord, you will be saved. And if you've never made that commitment, I want to ask you to do that today. Feel free to contact me, all our details on our website. And I'd love to counsel you over a number of platforms. I'm almost on all of them. But if you need to chat to me about giving your life to Jesus, please do so. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now that you tap out, tap in, and tap with you. Pray that you accomplish your purposes in our lives. The purpose, dear Lord, of making us righteous. The purpose of making us effective. And the purposes of making us flow and dance and become one with you in your agenda. We ask this for your sake in Jesus' name. Amen.